siempre pa' calar el hermano Benny. Si chivique a bandecir pa' calar, fique mi. Oh, mamá, tararara, tararara. Oh, mamá, zoom, zoom, pa' calar. All right. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And, of course, another big week. And one after another, it seems. A lot of excitement out there. And, of course, the big news is the terrorist strike in Brussels yesterday. And, of course, a real tragedy for the innocent people whose lives were taken by madmen. But what's not being talked about, and never is, is what caused these conditions to breed this madness. Absent from the news, just as with the refugee crisis, is who's behind the cause. And on the refugee crisis, of course, where are they coming from? Well, they're coming from Syria. Huh. Syria? That's right. You remember Hillary Clinton. You remember Barack Obama. You remember John Kerry and all the neocons. Assad has to go. Yep. So what do you have now? About 325,000 dead Syrians. The country destroyed. Over 11 million displaced people. Some 5 million refugees. How about Libya? You know, of course, you know, that was Obama and that humanitarian mission. Again, with Sarkozy from France and Cameron. And pushed here in the United States by Samantha Power, Susan Rice, and Hillary Clinton. So the refugee crisis, I could go on, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq. The murderous wars have killed millions, destroyed entire nations. So nobody talks about why they have a refugee crisis. And of course, when Gaddafi was in there, people were not leaving out of Libya from Africa and going into Europe. But we won't talk about that. And neither will we talk about the causes of radicalism. So let's suppose you live in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, in Queens, or Staten Island, or Bronx, or Oakland, or San Francisco, or St. Louis, or Cleveland, or Miami. And your entire cities are destroyed by a foreign force. Your nation is destroyed by a foreign force that says, Obama, Bush, or Clinton, name the president or the presidents to be, has to go. America has those weapons of mass destruction, and they're destroying the world, and we're going to destroy them before they destroy anybody else. And a superpower comes in and destroys your country, your city, your town, your village, and kills everybody that you love. And you saw this happen when you were a young kid. Yeah, you're in your 20s now. You were just barely a teenager when it all began. And you watched the destruction day after day and the murder. And the occupying forces killing everybody around you. You think you become radicalized and out of your mind? No. It's only them Islamists that do that. Not us good peoples. So no one talks about the causes of radicalism. More police. Oh yeah, police will solve it. No, it won't. Peace will. But no one wants to speak about peace. Look what's going on now. Go to any airport. Go to any city, large or small. Oh, they're all out there with their guns and their masks and all their armaments and all their military vehicles. Oh, they're going to protect us from them terrorists. Sure they will. Look what happened in Brussels. Go back to after the attacks in France that killed over 100 people. They locked down Brussels for almost a week. And of course, Brussels is being attacked because that's the home of NATO and the European Union. Yeah. So, innocents are dying because of decisions made by politicians, psychopaths and sociopaths that people prefer to call their presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, and other high officials. And people suffer all the time, whether it's Hiroshima, Dresden, Brussels, or Paris. The decisions of the madmen, they never go down, rarely do they. And every now and then one of them falls. But the little people are slaughtered, the innocent people. So when you're looking at what's going on, no one looks at the other side of the story. We do, and we report on it on Trends in the News every Monday through Friday. You can go to trendsresearch.com. You can see a sample of them. And then you go on YouTube. We have them posting. Every now and then we post a few. Here we go. This doesn't make the news. About those Saudi airstrikes pound North Yemen market, killing 119. When was that? That must be ancient history. I mean, after all, here we are on March 23rd. When did that happen, Salenti? When did Saudi warplanes launch a series of airstrikes against a crowded marketplace? And UN officials established the final death toll for the incident at 119 civilians killed. Now, that must have happened a long time ago. Yeah, it did. That was March 17th. I mean, after all, you know, we're all the way up to the 23rd now. So why should we even talk about that? Islamic State committed genocide, says U.S. That's right. John Kerry came out last week and he accused the Islamic State was genocidal. And quote, it's essential we stop them. So, can you imagine Kerry talking about genocide? About the genocide the Americans have caused by destroying Iraq. Innocent people, a war based on lies that everybody knows it. Even Donald Trump said the Bush administration knew it was a lie in the debates, what they call debates. It's a game show, beat the clock. And you got the apprentice king over there and the deal maker. But anyway, he calls out Bush and nobody contradicts him. Everybody knew that there was no evidence. You remember Scott Ritter and many others saying that there was no evidence that Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda, and it was inflated evidence. You want to talk about genocide? How about pointing the fingers at the war criminals? Blair, Bush, and all the ones that supported it, and every American that supported it. You're an accomplice to the war crime. The evidence was there and clear. We wrote about it in the Trends Journal, and so did many others. Not many others, but a handful of others. Of course, Gary Null and the people that he brings on his show knew it was a big lie. And you know the motto of the Trends Research Institute and the Trends Journal, think for yourself. So what we're hearing now is the propaganda on how they're going to protect us, how we have to eliminate ISIS. And no one talking about who's responsible for it. No one talking about the murderers in chief that have started these wars. No one. No one, no one in all of what's going on now. Not a peep from the prostitutes. or prostitutes. That's right, those media whores, men and women, sold off, paid off, and bought off to toe the corporate and the criminal lines. No one talking about the murder. You want to talk about destruction? They show you that blown up airport, a section of it. Look what's going on in the Kurdish regions, being destroyed by the Turks. Entire cities leveled. And all these bombing campaigns. So all they do is they bomb cities into oblivion. But hey, when it happens in Europe, then it's international news. Yemenis killed? They don't count. They count for nothing. 119 civilians killed last week, and not a peep from the prostitutes. Yeah, I can give you just a rundown. These are from Trends in the News. We just did a little search and how many times I mentioned it. Just recently, 7/13/15, 30 killed in Yemen. 6/25/15, 100 killed in Saudi airstrikes in Yemen. 8/15, Saudis continue to bomb Yemen. Estimated 4,000 dead. Yep. Saudis kill 85 in attack in North Yemen. This is just Yemen. One after another. At least 120 people killed on tugboat in Yemen. U.S. supplies Saudis with cluster bombs to bomb Yemen. And of course, Hillary Clinton's really a big supporter of arming Saudi Arabia when she was Secretary of State. Yeah, she really filled them up. So I guess that, I think it was $10 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation, that had nothing to do with that. So there you have it. The list just keeps going on and on and on. One after another. U.S. steps up weapons shipment, ammunitions and bombs. 4/8/15. These are all from Trends in the News. 4/7/15. Nearly 1,000 killed, mostly civilians in Yemen. This is when the war started. Yemen war gets hotter. 37 dead. But Yemenis don't count. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. I talked about non-Europeans or white people. You could kill them by the scores, by the hundreds. They count for nothing. But boy, oh boy, a bomb in Brussels? Now that's news. Terrorist strike Brussels, front page, Wall Street Journal. ISIS strikes at heart of Europe, Financial Times. Brussels attack shakes European security, New York Times. Do they ever show photos of dead Yemenis sprawled out on a marketplace? No, never. But boy, they got photos of what happened in Brussels. Again, innocent people, I'm not saying, you know, it's very sad, and I'm very saddened by it. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy, both of not giving equal treatment to others that are slaughtered by our allies. Yeah, you hear Hillary always talking about it, all of them, Kasich, everybody, our great allies, them Saudis. Yep, the king, the monarch. The dictator. It's okay to slaughter. It's okay for the French to go in and slaughter in Mali. But when they get attacked, hey, that's not good. Don't do that. We're the colonists. We're the only ones that could colonize and kill. It's one after another. No one talks about the causes and the effects. And now what they're doing is get prepared to lose more of your civil rights. Look what's happened to societies. We have these police everywhere we go. All right, let's get this in your head. You guys, the tough guys out there with your machine guns and how you're going to protect us. You think the people that are going to commit these acts are going to go to places where they know you are? Don't you think they'll do it somewhere else? Do you think you could stop every human being that wants to blow themselves up? They don't have to do it in an airport or a bus station or a train station. You could do it anywhere. Peace, not police, is what will end the war on terror. A war started by the United States of America following 9/11. The war on terror. Do you know most Americans still believe that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11? Of course they do, because of the propaganda. So peace is not part of the platform. And again, no one is speaking about who's responsible for creating these conditions of hatred, war, destruction. Again, if your city was destroyed, your country was destroyed, all your loved ones, your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, your aunts and uncles, friends, children, were killed by a foreign force, you think you'd go out of your mind a little bit and want to kill anybody that you could as revenge? Not to say it's right. It's terrible. You know, there's no rationale for it in a morality sense. But there's certainly the psychological rationale of going out of your mind and doing crazy things after crazy things have been done by to you. Again, just imagine. Imagine if Manhattan looked like Hiroshima and a foreign nation did it. And all the boroughs and all the areas are destroyed. Again, go out to California. Do it to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oakland. Wipe it all out. Foreign force, because they don't like who's leading your country and says you're a threat to them. And kills everybody that you love. And you have no future. Your country's destroyed. You think you're going to go out of your mind? But we won't talk about that because you're not allowed to. Prostitutes don't do that. All they'll do is keep beating the war drums. This charade of all these military people at every airport around the nation. You got two guys, maybe three, maybe a cell of, what they say, a couple of hundred. You're not going to stop this with more police. You're only going to stop it with peace. Could anybody figure it out? We didn't have these problems before the United States destroyed Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and Libya and its coalition of the killing with NATO. And all they do is call for more war, more war. Quote, this is from President Obama, yesterday from Cuba. Yet another reminder that the world must unite. We must be together regardless of nationality or race or faith in fighting against the scourge of terrorism and to bring these people to justice. I love that line. You know what just bringing people to justice? Bush used to repeat this two-bit line. Clinton, every one of them. Bringing people to justice means murdering them. Yeah. If they're suspected, you murder them. No judge, no jury, no trial. I want to talk about terrorism. The United States is terrorizing a good part of the world. Hey, how about that pivot to Asia now, huh? Yeah, we got the Chinese to worry about. How about they open up a bases? The Americans are in bases now again in the Philippines. Terror? The hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. It's one after another. We are at war, said the French Prime Minister, Manuel Valls. We have been enduring acts of war for many months in Europe. And in the face of this war, we need every minute mobilization. We need every minute mobilization. Okay, Manuel. Manuel, you murderer. You went to Mali. You got it. You can't get over that French Sudan trip, huh? Oh, it couldn't be because of the uranium in Niger. No, and you guys got all those nuclear plants over there in France. And you need that uranium. And now you have all your troops guarding it at all of those mines. Why don't you mind your own business? We wrote in the Trends Journal, the quotes, coming out of Mali when France attacked and how they said there was going to be payback. Their words reported in the Christian Science Monitor from Mali for France's invasion. No, it's not an invasion. We was welcomed. And that little boy that they called a French president over there, Hollande, excuse me, he said the war on terror must be fought, you ready for this? In cold blood, end quote. Must be fought in cold blood. Cold blood. That means murdering innocent people in cold blood. Not your blood, little Francois, you little nothing of a boy. Can you imagine this guy fighting? Can you imagine any of these guys who shoot their mouths off and want to murder more fighting? The presidents, the prime ministers, Cameron. Yeah, when Cameron, you know the story about Cameron sticking his penis in a dead pig's mouth when he was at those elite schools. Can you imagine that little boy in a fight? Think of it. Look how tough Hillary Clinton talks. Think she'd send Chelsea to go fight? Well, Bill, Bill the draft dodger. And I was too. But I admit it, these clowns lie about it. And it wasn't, you know, I'm the same age as Trump. It wasn't though I was smart enough to be against the Vietnam War. I just couldn't imagine me in a foreign country with a lot of weight on my back walking through these rice paddies and getting shot at. And that's why I avoided the draft. I wasn't smart enough to realize they were lying to us. But anyway, all these people that never go or never fight, they're the ones that are always screaming the loudest for war. More war, more hatred. Through the attacks in Brussels, the whole of Europe has been hit, Hollande said. Yep. So, what's Trump going to do about it? Quote, he said this before, he said it again yesterday. Waterboarding would be fine. I would do a lot more than waterboarding. You have to get the information from these people. What people? Who? It proves that this stuff doesn't work most of the time. It's against international law. But hey, I'll change the law because I'm Donald Trump. I love that speaker that was on just before me. He really summed it up well. I think his name was Bob McChesney. People Get Ready was the name of his book. I just heard the end of it. But he really summed up Trump perfectly. And the people are buying into it. They're buying into it because of the disgust of the two-party system. obviously not because of his eloquence and detailed explanations of things. Because, quote, I'm in the camp where you have to get information, and you have to get it readily. Yep. As president, I will be very, very tough on the borders, and I would not allow certain people to come into this country without absolute perfect documentation. Okay. Obviously, none of these people are fighters. Because if you are, you know what to do. You don't need documentation, Donnie. Anybody could sneak in anytime. And there's people here already. And you're not going to get them all. But again, who am I to question him? This little boy went to military school over here in Cornwall, not far from us in Kingston, right south of us. Again, so out of control and so arrogant, this kid. They sent him to military school. Can you imagine being a young guy? I mean, I wouldn't be eating my mother's cooking. May his soul rest in peace. Mwah. Wouldn't go out playing with my friends or fall in love with the girls. Rather, I'd be in military school saluting and making my bed proper. That's Donald Trump. And here he is pushing out this garbage. An out-of-control, arrogant boy. And one after another, it's not only him. We need to empower law enforcement to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized. And that was Ted Cruz. Yep. Hillary Clinton, an acknowledged Americans have the right to be frightened, but said military leaders have found techniques like waterboarding are not effective. And she's right. Quote, we've got to work through these consistent. We've got to work through this through consistent, though consistent with our values. We've got to work this through consistent with our values. Okay. We've got to work this through consistent with our values, she said. Do we need to resort to torture? But they're going to need more help. Yeah. Do not need to resort to torture, but they're going to need more help. Okay, what do you mean? Our values, consistent with our values, bombing countries into oblivion, the values that you have, arming the Saudis to slaughter the Yemenis, those values? Oh, no, the values of your launching the war against Gaddafi. No, your values against launching the war against Assad. No, your husband's values against destroying Iraq and putting sanctions on where over 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of 5 died. Oh, those values? No, the values of the Bosnian War, the Yugoslav War. Oh, yeah, you got a lot of values. Yeah, she has some quite track record of being a neocon, doesn't she? Yep. She helped facilitate the military coup in Ukraine. Yeah. She waived restrictions at the State Department on selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, Algeria, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Oman, and Qatar. And, of course, all these states that she gave this money to, these nations, gave money to the Clinton Foundation. Isn't that wonderful? Yep. She supported the surge in Iraq even before Bush did. Her husband was a big proponent of it. One after another. She supported the coup government in Honduras in 2009 under Obama, you liberals. And of course, she voted for the 2003 invasion of Iraq. And as I've mentioned, she's not afraid and always unashamed of laughing about how Gaddafi has to go and how happy she was when he died. We came, we saw, he died. And this is someone speaking about Hillary Clinton. I have a sense that she's one of the more competent members of the current administration, and it would be interesting to speculate how she might perform were she to be president. Who said that? Ah, Dick Cheney. Isn't that great, huh? For this former Republican, and perhaps for others, the only choice will be to vote for Hillary Clinton. The party cannot be saved, but the country still can be. That's Robert Kagan, that neocon. Yep. Chief neocon, whose wife, by the way, is Victoria Nuland, also worked with Cheney, worked under Clinton, and she's the woman that was passing out cookies along with our ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt, prior to the overthrow of the democratically elected government of Yanukovych, Maidan Square, or Maidan Square. That Victoria Nuland, that Kagan, that's who's behind Clinton. One after another. I've known her for many years now, and I respect her intellect. And she ran the State Department in the most effective way that I've ever seen. Henry the murderer Kissinger. Don't forget to vote. As I hear from all the liberals, they hate Trump, but they're going to vote for Clinton. So you look at our top trends of 2016, and one of them is war. And we were warned more and more about it. And as you're seeing the presidential race heat up, get ready for war after the elections, because that's the way we see it going. War is on the horizon, and there's no getting away from it with these candidates that are ready to keep moving in, unless, of course, we have peace. But no one's speaking about peace, just more war. And again, as an American, I honor the Founding Fathers with no foreign entanglements. But when you listen to the candidates at that AIPAC meeting this past Monday and Tuesday, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee meeting, the pro-Israeli lobbying group, America, we're obligated to Israel. Quote, "We need steady hands, not a president who says he's neutral on Monday, pro-Israel on Tuesday, and who knows on Wednesday," Clinton said. "Israel's security is non-negotiable. We can't be neutral when rockets rain down on residential neighborhoods, when civilians are stabbed in the street, when suicide bombers target the innocent. Some things aren't negotiable," she said. "And anyone who doesn't understand that has no business being our president." Hey, listen, Hitlery, don't tell me no one that doesn't understand your BS has no right to be president. We could be neutral when Israel destroys Gaza. We could be neutral when Israel turns Palestinians into an apartheid state. We could be neutral when they destroy tens of thousands of homes, war after war, 2,000, 3,000 dead, and these rocket attacks. Go look it up. Since 2001, the best number that I could come up with, and please correct me if I'm wrong, in doing searches, since 2001 to 2014, under 50 Israelis have been killed by rocket attacks. These are bottle rockets. where they're dropping these cluster bombs and bunker-busting bombs, destroying entire Gaza. 30, 40,000 homes destroyed. Again, between 2,400 to 3,000 people killed. And then don't forget when Obama was 2008, 2009, that Israeli war. When Obama said, oh, when I become president, I'm not going to talk about it now, but when I become president, yeah, became president, nothing changed. They killed a couple of thousand Palestinians then. I don't support Israel. I don't support Italy. And I'm Italian-American. My blood's Italian, but my heart's American. I only support America. America first. And we're giving them, what, about $4 billion a year? Israel's a pretty wealthy place. One after another. Yep. Hillary. We've had dark chapters in our history before, Clinton said, talking about the refugee crisis, before allowing a ship packed with Jewish refugees to dock in the U.S. in 1939. But America should be better than this, and I believe it's our responsibility as citizens to say so. Quote, if you see bigotry, oppose it. If you see violence, condemn it. If you see a bully standing up, if you see a bully, stand up to him. Oh, yeah? You see bigotry? How about the bigotry that Israel's committing? How about the bigotry the Saudis are committing? If you see violence, condemn it. Oh, yeah? Unless we do it. That violence is okay. Or our allies do it. If you see a bully, what bigger bully than the Americans? Stand up to him. And why do we him? Why, I'll tell you, that's being anti-male. What do you mean you see a bully, stand up to him? You, Samantha Powers and Susan Rice, were the bullies that pushed for the Libyan war. Only calling men bullies isn't fair. Let's be equal. Let's call crazy all genders, races, creeds, and colors. Why, she should be taken to task for only calling men bullies. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, so take it easy, I think. Yep. While the turmoil in the Middle East presents enormous challenges and complexity, walking away is not an option. No. Walking away is not an option, she says. Isn't that great? Isn't that great you have someone speaking for you like this? Again, Clinton's don't go. The senator's sons don't go. Congressmen's boys and girls don't go. And congresswomen's. No, no, no. No. The job market for war. Right. Kids that can't get jobs that join this stuff and believe in the BS. And she just keeps going on. And then, of course, there's Trump in his talk. He promised to move the U.S. embassy to Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Yep. And, of course, he blames the Palestinians for the problems. It's not the Israelis stealing land. No, they could steal all the land they got because, after all, we all know that God was a real estate agent and the Bible was a land deed. All the information's right there, paragraph 3, section 8, clause 5 of the Bible. The Old and New Testaments and testaments to be. God gave them the land. He said, pledging 100%, condemning the UN, Iran, and Palestine in general, and pledging 100% unconditional use of a U.S. veto at the UN Security Council to block all resolutions Israel objects to. Imagine that. If Israel objects to a resolution, we have to veto it. If every nation agrees with it, but Israel objects to it, we have to veto it. This, to me, these people are traitors. He goes on to say that Palestinians as a whole, declaring them to have, quote, a culture of hatred. Could you imagine that? I have a business partner that's Palestinian. I know Palestinians. What culture of hatred are you talking about? It's disgusting. Could you imagine if you said this about another religion? Could you imagine if somebody said the Jews have a culture of hatred? Oh, maron. But it's okay to say the Palestinians have a culture of hatred. Again, that show just before mine and on Progressive Radio Network, and urging the people to get the book, Get Ready, is people get ready, is that he summed it up about Trump. I believe his name was Bob McChesney. And that's the hatred that's being sown and swallowed by the American people. Yep. One line after another from Trump. And again, this thing about Iran, we gave them $150 billion. He keeps going on and on about that. I'm a deal maker. He goes, quote, he said that no one had studied Iran deal, quote, more than him, believe me. Nobody knows anything more than him, believe me. And they accuse him of being misogynist. Nobody respects women more than me. Nobody knows anything more than him. He always uses that line. Nobody studied Iran. Hey, moron, if you knew the Iran deal, moron, you know we didn't give them back $150 billion, moron. It was their money, moron, that the United States froze in banks, moron. We didn't give them anything. We stole their money. We froze it. And when sanctions were lifted, they got it back, moron. But all the prostitutes are afraid to call the moron a moron. And he closes this by saying, this is from the Wall Street Journal. In his APAC speech, Mr. Trump, who promised at the outset that he hadn't come to, quote, pander to you about Israel, end quote, made several overtures to the audience. He continued by telling them, quote, my daughter Ivanka is about to have a beautiful Jewish baby. And he received a loud round of cheers. Hey, what if the kid turns out ugly? What a cheap shot. He used this Ivanka thing by every time he brought her around with all his campaign stops. Oh, I hope she has the baby in Iowa. I hope she has the baby, you know, in New Hampshire. I hope she has the, yeah, what a cheap. But hey, why not? It's the presidential reality show. Of course it has to be stupid. Dumb and stupid. Yeah. That would be the perfect presidential ticket. Dumb and stupid. Because that's all it is, if you believe any of this stuff. So get ready for the oncoming war. It's all they're leading us to. So in closing out the next several minutes, I'd like to talk a bit about what's going on in the economy. And let's make this very, very clear. The only reason the markets are going up is because of all of the quantitative easing coming out of Europe. By the way, over in China, yeah, they dropped some restrictions on buying shares of stocks without putting a lot of money down, leveraging over the weekend. That boosted the Shanghai a bit. And again, it cannot be underestimated what they did in Europe 2 weeks ago when Mario Draghi, the former head of the European division of the Goldman Sachs gang and now head of the ECB, European Central Bank, injected another 20 billion euros into their bond buying scheme, bringing it up to 80 billion from 60 billion. But not only are they buying government bonds. They're buying corporate bonds. And they also have this, you know, long-term operation. And what they're doing is actually they're letting big banks borrow at negative interest rates, which in effect means paying them to loan money out. I'm not making this up. So this whole negative interest rate scheme, all it's doing is juicing the economies of the stock markets, but not the real economy. There's no price discovery left. And when you look at stock valuations, they're at highs, way beyond what the earnings ratios of the stocks should be providing. It's only happening because the gamblers are allowed to gamble because they're getting money for free. The big banks and the buybacks, stock buybacks, and the merger and acquisition activity. You saw it again this week. Sherwin-Williams bought, another big paint company. And you're seeing it with the mergers and acquisitions with Marriott buying Starwood, one after another. So it's a fake economy. There's no real price discovery. And oil prices, you look at the damage being done, the banks that are exposed to it, the numbers are really frightening. And it's estimated, in the European sector, it'll hit some 20% of the earnings. In the United States, over 10% of bank earnings and exposure to the oil sector. But, of course, that's not making the news. So the big news is, of course, that, oil is now selling, both West Texas and Brent, around $40 a barrel. And that moved up from a low of what? It was around 26. Big deal. It's down from a June 2014 high of $115 a barrel. Down to $40 a barrel. Now you're looking at downgrades of one country after another going across the Middle East. One, Bahrain, Oman. And now they're talking about Moody's downgrading Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, because of this decline in oil prices and the glut that just keeps building. Now, it's very important to understand, although they keep saying they're having meetings where they're going to cut back production, they're having meetings where they say they're going to hold production. Holding production and cutting back production are two different things. You have a glut of oil being stored. If they keep production where it is, it's creating about 2 million extra barrels of oil a day on the market. If prices do go up, you're going to see more production coming back online, and that's going to drive prices down. So this is a long-term downturn as we see it. And you're seeing today that oil prices are down some 3%. And you're seeing these wild swings day after day on news. Some of it means nothing. Some of it means a lot. And today's means something. The Energy Information Administration reported that U.S. crude stocks rose by 9.4 million barrels in the previous week. Now remember, these are stocks, or crude stocks, rose to a total of 532.5 million barrels. That's what they're holding on to. So, gold. Gold took a big hit today. It's down about 28 bucks. And you know our motto, we don't give financial advice, we turn forecasting. I'm still a gold bug. But that's the only way I see it. I'll be back in a few seconds. Okay, we're back. Static got rid of that static, we hope. So we're back to gold, and you know me, as I said, I'm not a gold bug in the sense that I tell people what to do. I just believe that gold is the ultimate safe haven commodity, considering, as I was mentioning earlier, negative interest rates never been done in the history of the world. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. So all they're doing is printing money. So to me, gold is the safe haven of commodities to look to. Because when you look at the other commodities and what's going on, for example, you saw a lot of the commodities coming back in terms of gaining strength over the last few weeks. But now, you know, that seems like a false hope, because you're seeing also things like copper. You know, it's down today again 2%. Why? Because China buys up about 40% of the copper. And copper is a real indicator of where economies are going, because you need it in wiring and plumbing. It has, you know, many different uses in industrial development. So China now, they were estimating to increase their buy of copper by almost 4% this year. Now it's down to, you know, about 0.03. So in other words, they're not buying much new stuff. And there's a global slowdown. There's a global recession. And we don't see any recovery. And again, all of this quantitative easing, all the stimulus measures, is only juicing the equity markets, period, paragraph. Now, let's put another element on top of this. I mentioned that oil prices, we don't see them going. Our forecast is the $30, $40 range. Could go to $50, but that's the range. Now, let's tie the other trends into place. Geopolitics? Yeah. How about that one? Yeah, you know what that means, don't you? The war in Yemen. Saudi's government going deeper in debt, selling bonds. They look like they're going to have a $100 billion deficit this year. All of these countries that are going under because of their debt problems of low oil prices, they're going to have a lot of social problems. So if we start seeing real social problems in the Middle East going into regional and civil wars, and there's disruption on the oil fields, that's the kind of thing that could juice oil prices. So there are always the wild cards, and that's why nobody can predict the future. You could forecast trends to see the way they're going, but you never know how they're going to play out because of the wild cards. Like a Donald Trump. You want to talk about a wild card? Doesn't get wilder than that. So as the situations are going, as we see it, I just want to wrap up our forecasts. Again, you can get all of them at our website, trendsresearch.com. On the economic front, a continuation of global recession. You're looking at housing starts by the housing sales in the last month. They were down, what, over 7%? New mortgage activity down again this month. Global recession. We're bullish on gold because of geopolitical and economic instability. We need peace. It's the only way out of these endless wars. No one is speaking about it. No one. No one. on the presidential campaign. No one is speaking about peace as these terrorist strikes continue in Europe, and all they're talking about is more war. More war is not the solution. Look, it was just on March 19th and 20th. Those are the days Obama launched the war, on the anniversary of Bush's launching the war. Obama launched the war against Syria. What was that? 2011, 5 years ago. Also on March 19th and 20th. And Bush, ironically or not, launched the war against Iraq on March 19th and 20th. Isn't that ironic? Hope and change you can believe in? Yeah, we changed the date by a day. The hope? Yeah, we killed less people. I mean, he did, than Bush did. So the wars continue. We're in Afghanistan now. It'll be 16 years before you know it. It's 15 now. And now they're talking about more troops going in. Oh, and the lie about no boots on the ground? That's right. We have military bases in Iraq now, and they're bringing more in there. The Pentagon's even admitted it. The only way out is peace. Peace brings prosperity, but it brings more than that. It brings morality. It brings joy, and it brings beauty. There's no beauty in destruction. There's no beauty in murder. Unless, of course, you're running for president of the United States, then you like it. Beauty doesn't count. Murder does. So please do what you can do. The future depends on you. The future's in our hands. Anybody that says it's not in your hands is trying to rob it from you. This is Gerald Celente, and that's some of the trends this week. And thank you for listening in. And on this Easter weekend, yeah, let's remember the Prince of Peace. Nobody talks about peace and the Prince anymore. Mamma mia puttana, mamma mia pensaccia tu.